sound of speed. Let's go.
All right, you lead us off. Where do you want to start?
I would say the part where I talking about with Caspian and Francis looking at each other. Things were getting hot between Roderick and the captain of the guard.
The captain of the guard takes on a defensive position. My lord, you seem to be inferring a certain ingratitude of all of the incessant labors and work that I put forth for you throughout the service I rendered throughout your entire reign. Yes. With a smirk, Roderick responds. You might say that, since, that is what you should be perceiving. I don't think you understand, sire, that the ruling of the kingdom was far more complicated than your grace. Far more complicated? In what manner is it complicated? Nothing but gathering taxes, ordering around peasants, and making sure that the guards and soldiers actually were doing their jobs. What sort of complications? We were not at war. There was no famine. No temporal crisis that I was aware of. Yes, well, you wouldn't be aware of it, my lord, and remember that I am, after all, defending you. Yes, I'm glad for that, I suppose. As long as you're defending me, then perhaps you hope that you can hide behind that, perhaps? Lay everything on me? My lord, quite the opposite. Have you not seen the work that I have gone through, have I? Yes. You seem to be consistently repeating, over and over again, with the entire court to hear that it was all his lordship's fault, the king, and I couldn't say a word, and if I had mentioned it, and if you had only known, oh yes, you're doing a wonderful job defending me. Perhaps we should swap places. Maybe I should start defending you. We can get to the bottom of this quicker. That is rotten jest, Roderick. I didn't mean it in any sort of a jest. Your Honor? Do you think that perhaps, Your Honor, my client, I'm not his client. Sit down, Roderick. I'm trying to get you out of this. You're doing nothing of the sort, he says, throwing his hand out, throwing the captain of the guards hand off of Roderick's arm. I think I'd have to be in a much better position if I would defend my own cases. Your Honor, the defendant wishes to speak. Allow him to speak, Peter says in a commanding voice. Your Honor, I wish that perhaps with some of this case, he looks over at the guard, with some of this case I would request that my own attorney not be here. And there's a murmur through the crowds. Quite the unheard of thing. A defendant requesting that his own attorney be removed from the courtroom. Yes, I'd like that, though, since perhaps I might have an opportunity that I might be able to defend myself. I might be able to give some answers to these questions. Perhaps when we look through that pile of taxation bills, might be able to have more of an authentic record. Your Honor! He stands up, the captain of the guard, furious, his red face in an explosive expression. I have mentioned before, and there are many others in this court who would be more than willing to back up my claims. Claims that he has repeatedly, yes, I am sure, the king was not involved. All right, I have answered to that. But then who was involved, may I ask? And perhaps the one who was involved should be able to have more of a chance to show that perhaps the ruling of Chan has been more of a farce than I was aware of. If that were the case, sire, then the responsibility of it would have gone to the king, would it have? If the king was being lied to and stabbed behind his back, stabbed behind strong words and deeds, and stronger words will come soon, my dear captain.
Oh, we'll get to that, all right. But please continue, Roderick.
And Roderick wheels back. I do not claim to be completely innocent. That would be false. I see that clearly. And perhaps I'm not as guilty, in my own eyes, as you would wish me to see. Very well, I concede to that. But at least we are all talking in the same language.
I thank you for that, Roderick, but I more meant the captain of the guard.
I like to put forth to the court that if the king wishes to shunt all his blame, that is not what I am saying. If the king wishes to portray himself as the innocent victim, that is not... Some defendant you are. Did you not hear that? That is precisely not what I said. I just accused myself of guilt. Who are you even defending? What is this all about? My lord, you are excited. This is a courtroom. Everything that you say can and will be used against you. I should hope so. I want this to be put down on the record before you put something else in my mouth, as you have been spending most of this court case doing so. You're putting in your mouth. I have cited several instances, my young king, that I could explicitly point to in referring to your conduct, your desires, and your needs, and your wishes. So I would be more mindful before you start accusing me in the courtroom. For remember, sire, that as I fall, so shall you. We are both, he pulls him closer, we are both trapped in this together. And I should hope that as the ship is sinking, that we do not make the mistake of shoving ourselves off the boat in the attempt to push away the enemy. And Roderick becomes cold and glares back at him. The ship is sunk. I don't know where you are, but in trying to scramble onto a floating piece of wood, I find that you keep shoving me off in order to clamber onto one yourself. And I, for one, don't mind that. Perhaps there's room for two, but you seem to only think there's room for one. My lord, allow me to continue with the case. They are convinced of your guilt. There is no way you can get about it. Well, you seem to be feeding them that information. Sir, if there is any chance of you perhaps getting out of any sort of a sentence, trying to overplay your innocence is not going to help. Plead guilty, be guilty, and then be punished. And then ask for it to be brought again. And then once the witnesses have disbanded, perhaps there's some way to lessen your sentence. I wish that I could believe the sincerity of your words. You don't have to believe anything, he says calmly. Like it or not, you are the defendant. You are their prisoner. I am merely the overtaken in this pitiful war. But I am not already sentenced to the gallows, and hopefully, simply, the dungeon. And I, for one, intend to keep it that way. Protecting yourself again, as always. It's a shame I didn't see the side of you before. Yes, indeed. If you had, perhaps things would have gone differently. But think what you like. My motives for staying out of prison might not be quite as selfish as you anticipate. You are, after all, my defendant. And more than that, you are still my king. No matter what anyone else might parade. Remember that, Roderick. Roderick blinks silently. These were odd words to be coming from the captain. He was not sure how much he believed those words. And for the present, he was satisfied to remain silent.
If the captain of the guard and Roderick are done talking, I think we'll come back to this later, and we'll come back to the captain of the guard a bit later.
Farewell.
For now, we only have one more. We have one more civilian to bring up to the stand to testify.
Very good.
And with this, that's when we pull up Lawrence. Alright. Now it's time to cut to Bertram.
Bertram in the courtroom? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, Bertram in the courtroom.
Okay.
Didn't we have him there personally? I thought, like, he went to get some evidence.
Yes. Forgive me. Oh, I have lost track of what evidence Bertram was looking for.
I think... Well, I could check again. I think it was towards the very end of the previous chapter.
Oh, was he looking for a book or something? Was that it?
It might have been the book about those pages.
Okay. So Bertram has returned. Very cool. Okay. So is Bertram at the stand? Is Lawrence talking? What did you want?
No. Look, we already did Lawrence. I just wanted to do that part.
Oh, and then that happened next. I gotcha. I'm sorry. Okay. So now Bertram comes in.
Do you remember what happened last time with Bertram?
Bertram wasn't there last time. The last chapter.
I think he went off to get something.
Yeah, he went off to get the book for the loose pages that the captain had in his box.
Right, I suggest he get a guard down to do it, and he went off to do it instead.
Right.
Alright.
So Bertram returns with two or three books in his hand, and Caspian leans over to Francis. Judging by the look on his face, I'm not sure how successful he was. And Bertram comes back and gives a slight bow to Peter. If it pleases the court, I have only these few books I have obtained from the depth of my family library. You are welcome to look at them. He hands them over to Edmund, who looks over to Caspian and Francis, who come over to take a closer look.
All right. We'll have to assemble these pages. Let's assemble these pages carefully.
And laying them about on the table, there's a lot of old ruins and a language so old I can't... Forgive me, I'm not familiar with this. We were never taught this. And it looks like... Well, it looks like you have a number of pages here that... It seems like almost each one is from something different. If you mark the staining, Caspian, on the side, there's... And the ink as well. But you see, if you look at that handwriting there, look at the way that there's... What are these? Are these letters? Or are they... They are... Some of them are a collection of... Well, it wasn't really code, but it was a much older form of our language. And I think that some of them included... Well, if you look over there, this one, I think the rapidity of it, those may be numbers. Those may be numbers. What are you looking for numbers? Perhaps it is the information on the back? No, there's a lot... There's an illustration, but... It's so crude, I can't even make it out. I can't tell if it's a portrait, or if it's a map, or an artifact. It's so odd-looking. Perhaps it is a family symbol. It could easily be. I'm ashamed of how ignorant I am. Well, let's look at it logically. You bought these books because of the similarity of handwriting? That was what I was going by, yes, and also the aging of the papers. Well, even if, Caspian says with a sigh, even if we were able to match them... Aha! This one goes in this book. See this one? If you flip it over towards the latter half of the book, you can see that these look like these might be numbers. You can see it continue on the previous page. It's seamless. It's very seamless. That's very good. Then you can see on the other side, yes, with that crude image, there's another one on the opposing page. That's very good. Yes, that is very good, the captain of the guard mentions. They all give a glance.
And when you can figure out what it means, do tell me. What are you saying? Do any of you speak great ancient Chon?
Don't you? You seem to know what some of this stuff means.
You seem to know that I know. But...
You're far older than both of the brothers here, and you were alive during the reign of Roderick's grandfather. So yeah.
Yes.
Kind of figures you would have some ideas of it.
It's very true. However, as Roderick was so quick to point out, this was not my box. This was his box. The defendant may verify that. Yes, I verify that. And you assume that I put those papers in there. Bertram, I commend you for finding the book that came from. Bertram gives him a harsh glance up with confusion. I have been looking for many a years for that book. You see, when I acquired this box from the king, I admit, not the most honest of maneuvers, these pages were in there. As you mentioned, young man, I have lived through the service of Roderick's grandfather. When I acquired these box, these pages had been torn from one of Roderick's patrimony. Either his father or his grandfather or perhaps somebody else had torn out these pages and had put them in this box. I don't believe you. You do not have to believe me, young prince, but I tell you, these pages have been in here, and even if we knew where they came from, yes, we would not be able to read it. And with a smile, the captain of the guard is assuring, I understand that the tax formations are probably a whole lot more of interest to you in this current case.
Indeed, but first, may I suggest, and with this, I whisper in Bertram's ear. What if I pulled out someone to translate the ancient Charnian language?
And Bertram glanced at him with their huge eyes. That is an incredible thought, but perhaps we shall do it later, and not in the courtroom, and especially not in front of this man.
Good point. We would have loved to see the shock of his face. Oh, you're so right, Captain of the Guard. The tax documents are of great importance to us. Let's check them out.
Alright, we've got a couple minutes left here. So, in laying out the cat tax forms, Beaver, Caspian, and Francis begin to sort them out. Mostly by quantities. How much each taxing... The quantity of them definitely denoted the amount of wealth that the taxed person had, and that the kingdom was acquiring from. And in looking through and sorting through, they seem to see a pattern of a rising amount. Over the past 4 years, Caspia notes, that there's been a significant increase in the percentage. First, a slow climb, but then a definite climb, very noticeable. 2 years ago, it jumped up from a 5% to a 9%, until at last it ended on a 13%. And Caspian can see that while this is all across the board, there are certain accounts that do not seem to have this updated tax amount. And so, when we return, we shall look through some of those particular ones that were omitted from the higher taxation. And also, Caspian turns towards the captain of the guard, we shall need the written proof that this rising taxation was signed and agreed upon by the king. And at first, the others thought, well, of course, Caspian, why would you assume that? But, to everyone's surprise except for Caspian, this shows a noticeable effect on the captain of the guard, a negative effect, in having to produce such a document proving that Roderick had signed for a higher taxation. Were you going to say something?
I was going to say, we have like 3 minutes, well, according to my clock, we have like 5 minutes left.
Yeah, how long are we doing? Did you say 20 minutes?
No, I said 25.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Well, then, we come back to it. And...
I was saying 25 minutes.
Oh, sorry, I thought you said 20. So...
I understand. No, 25.
So, the captain then scowls noticeably. I see you, need another escort to your office? Or will we find anything there? And Caspian looks then over towards Roderick. Perhaps the defendant would like to speak for himself. And Roderick glances over. Let me see those papers. So they bring them for you.
Here.
This was only last March. I was... And then he realizes. I was up north, wasn't I? He glances over the captain. Yes. You had encouraged me to go on a hunting spree. I was gone for weeks. No, I did not sign for any of this. He throws it away. So, did you receive any of these revenues? I was aware of the previous increase, but this last one... No, I did not. And I did not receive any of it. No, I didn't even know that it had been risen. And there's an awkward silence.
The captain has no documentation, then?
It
no real documentation.
Was... You see in front of you that the numbers... There was a need. There had been an accident.
What sort of accident?
An accident that does not pertain in detail to the needs of this courtroom. And there's a general laughter.
You are under oath to describe what it is.
In the southern lands, there was an avalanche that had taken place, and a few merchants, traveling merchants, had been complaining that the road down there was now impassable, and so it was necessary to question, if I may, was this avalanche in the vicinity of those aforementioned ex-soldier criminals? I do not remember clearly. Right. And so, if, let's say that it were, because wherever it was on that south road, it has been mentioned to the court before. If the court would recall, I believe the captain himself had mentioned that that entire road was now nearly impassable, and that complaints had come because of the crooks. And so, I mentioned to the court that perhaps this avalanche wasn't quite so accidental. And there's a murmur. And I mentioned to the court that perhaps this intentional avalanche to obstruct the road permanently, making it more impassable than it already had become, the peasants, and needing a response from the kingdom, instead of getting the help they needed, they are suddenly are charged more in order to pay for it. Because who's going to pay for it but not the king and not his second-hand man, right? And I mentioned to the court, Beaver says, and raising his voice, that perhaps this avalanche had been proposed to the criminals by the captain of the guard himself. And there's a loud cry and a murmur. Order! Order in the court! There is no proof of this! I didn't say there was proof. I mentioned it as a thought to the court to consider.
I'm also of the belief that you are paying off the crooks yourself. behind Roderick's back.
And if I may then mention, do you have any documentation for this? Is there any proof?
And Caspian looks about. Is there any man brave enough to travel to the south? For if we acquire one of these highway robbers, we might indeed have all the proof we need.
I'm brave enough. Let's go. I'm brave enough. I say once we're on break, let's go.
And a pale face covers over the captain of the guard, and Roderick glances over and notices it. And for the first time throughout this court case, Roderick smiles, feeling genuinely satisfied. And we shall stop there for tonight.
All right, thanks.
You're welcome.
Well, I guess I changed my mind. This isn't the second to last, it's the third to last.
Are you okay with that?
Yeah, I'm okay with it. You know what? I'm okay with it if you are.
I am. I think this is adding some more details to this case.
Indeed. Well, I'd say once we apprehend one of those crooks, probably the one who's been the closest to the captain of the guard, we'll get him to testify, we'll have Bertram say his piece, and then I'll ram right into the captain of the guard with my speech.
Okay. Definitely want to hear that speech.
See you around.
All right, see you around. Good night, Francis.
Good night.
And today is June 8th, 2026, 11:11 p.m.